Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Church Online this morning, or afternoon, or evening, or whenever it is that you're listening to this. As I record this, it's a beautiful Sunday morning. So much to give thanks to God for, as the birds are singing, the sun is shining. It just makes the world feel a better place, despite all the troubles and hardships that are going on around. We're looking at Daniel 4 today, as we continue our series on Daniel. I'm really enjoying this series. Hope you are too. Thanks for the feedback from people saying that they're enjoying it and getting into the book in a new way and stuff. Yeah, do keep sending me your stories. Love to hear them. We're looking at Daniel 4 today, so I'm gonna read it and then we'll pray. So, Daniel 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at my home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. And so in verse 8, finally, Daniel came to my presence and told me the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for an opportunity to engage with your scripture and your word. I pray that it would inspire us. I pray that we would be changed as we read these words and look at them together, so that we might live lives that bring your kingdom, that reflect more of the character, personality of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ever found yourself doing something or saying something or acting in a certain way and thinking, man, I thought I'd got over this? Or ever look back a few years and you're almost jealous of your own like past faith, I suppose. My computer every now and then comes up with a memory, like, this is what you were doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 1 year ago. Or your phone might do something similar, I don't know. And you look back and you think, I was hoping I would have come further, or I wish I still wasn't doing that. The reason why I ask is because Nebuchadnezzar, who's from perspective, we read Daniel 4, it's a bizarre chapter in many ways. Nebuchadnezzar, as we just read, he has this dream that troubles him. Daniel explains to him his dream. It's a dream of this big tree that stretches to the heavens, and then the tree gets cut down and then is restored. And Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, look, this is you. This is your pride. You're going to get cut down. You're going to go and live like an animal, eating grass, lose your sanity, and then you're going to be restored later. Anyway, bizarre chapter, Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4. But part of me reads it and thinks, isn't this the same king who in Daniel 2 had a dream interpreted for him? Isn't this the same king who just a few chapters before he got Daniel to interpret a dream and it changed his life, and he suddenly has this zeal for God, and he's saying that, oh, we need to worship the one true God, and thank you, Daniel, you've changed my life, you've turned me around, and I'm a new man, I'm a new king. And then just a bit later, he's making everyone worship his statue. And in Daniel 4, God's on his case and his pride's got out of hand. Whereas in Daniel 2, at the end of it, we see a humble king who's realised his place in the universe, who acknowledges the one true God. By Daniel 4, his pride is well and truly back. Almost for Nebuchadnezzar, it's like three steps forward and two steps back. And it's easy, I suppose, when you read in the book and like the chapters are literally next to each other, and you think, Nebuchadnezzar, what on earth are you doing? Like, didn't you have this experience in the previous chapter? Why are you now building a golden statue? But I can relate to that. Maybe not quite the next day, but maybe the next year, or after a period of time that I feel that it's three steps forward, two steps back. It can be very frustrating. If you've got a bad habit you're trying to break, you're doing really well for a month or 2 months, and then you find yourself slipping back into old habits, or you're really excited because you've taken up this new habit. You're reading the Bible for the first time and it's coming alive and it's really good, and you're doing it every day, and then you hit Leviticus and the passion just seems to melt away. I mean, maybe you felt like that during lockdown, that at the start you had all these good intentions and you were getting fit, or you were like engaging in all kinds of church services that were brilliant, or you were being able to read books and you had a bit of time to read your Bible in more depth, and maybe the passion goes a bit, maybe it's a more serious thing, an addiction that you thought you broke a couple of years ago and you find it's back. Maybe it's a bit like Nebuchadnezzar, that it's pride. It feels like it's something you have to keep going back over to try and overcome, I suppose. Nebuchadnezzar, it's pride that keeps coming back. And in chapter 4, it's well and truly back. When Daniel pleads with the king to avoid this thing happening to him, he says, if you want to avoid this, you need to renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. Clearly, something's gone wrong in Nebuchadnezzar's mind or his heart, and he's not only full of pride, proud, that's the word, isn't it? Not, or is it prideful? Both, I don't know. Not only is he full of pride, he's pushing other people down. He's going back to his old ways of building himself up by oppressing others. Daniel says you need to change. You need to be kind to the oppressed. You need to get on their side. You need to be elevating others, not pushing them down. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar just forgot God. Maybe he started to believe his own hype. I imagine that, judging by the rest of the chapters we've read together, he wasn't the kind of person to have accountability partners or people around him who are going to call him out. Maybe that's what we need. People around us who are going to say, look, that's not right. You need to deal with that. It's a difficult one, pride. Someone wrote, the biggest difference between you and God is God doesn't think he's you. I thought it was very true. Augustine once commented, should you ask me what the first thing of importance in Christianity, I should reply that the first is humility, the second is humility, and the third is humility. I know what it's like to feel that your ego is getting too big, that you start to believe that you're the one who can do it all. You start to put yourself on a pedestal and forget that all of us are in the same boat, that all of us need to throw ourselves upon the mercy of God, that he is God and we are not. Paul wrestled with this. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I've got more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul's been through this journey with pride as well, where he's got so many reasons to be boastful and arrogant and to think of himself as better than others, but he's had to wrestle with that, and now he considers it a loss for the sake of Christ. He's realised that the things that he was building himself up with were forming a barrier between him and the grace he needed from God. When he thought he could do it himself, that's when he was disconnected from the God who offered it all free of charge. Maybe it is pride for you, like it was for Nebuchadnezzar, like it was for Paul. I don't know what your, what do they call it? Besetting sin, is that the right language? Bad habits you slip into, maybe another way of putting it. Maybe it's anger, like Paul as well, to be honest. And Nebuchadnezzar, both of them. Maybe it's lust, like David. Maybe it is pride. Maybe it's your language. Maybe it's the way that you talk about other people. Maybe it's the aggressive language you use. Maybe maybe it's self-doubt and self-hatred or low self-esteem. God has created you and he loves you. He doesn't want you to live in a place of endlessly putting yourself down. Whatever it is, whatever these bad habits that you slip back into, or whatever the good habits you're unable, it seems, to grasp hold of and keep for the long term, there comes a point where God wants to get your attention. Now, I think for most of us, he does that through our friends. He does it through our family. He does it through the people around us who we love and we trust, who are willing to call us out on stuff. It might be in your small group that actually someone's explaining how their week's been, and part of you just thinks that's not right, and you have a quiet word with them and like, what's going on? Is there something I can pray for you for? Maybe it's the people in your family who have made one too many comments about your anger and you've realised that this is something you need to deal with. There comes a point where God needs to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention, and he does it in the, seems to be the only way Nebuchadnezzar listens, which is through a dream, which then gets interpreted. And Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and it certainly gets Nebuchadnezzar's attention. I don't believe that the suffering we experience is somehow from God that we might learn a lesson. I do believe that in all suffering, we can learn lessons and allow it to shape our character. In this case, though, it was a direct thing from God. The dream was a direct thing from God. The period that Nebuchadnezzar goes in of living like a wild animal, that was directly from God in order that he could be restored. Like I said, I do not believe when someone says, I'm really suffering, I think the worst thing you can say is, oh, it must be from God to teach you a lesson. No, I don't believe that at all. But in this case, it's certainly true that God has sent the dream and God has sent this period of testing and pruning on King Nebuchadnezzar in order to restore him. I believe that God loves us as we are, but he loves us enough that he doesn't want us to stay where we are. And I do believe that our sins have consequences. And Nebuchadnezzar, despite the warnings, doesn't listen. And he still returns to his pride. And then it says this, he was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle. How bizarre. And his nails like the claws of a bird. If you've got people around you telling you need to sort this anger out, or you've got people around you telling you need to sort this pride out, or you've got people, whatever it is, listen to them. Don't let it get to this point. Don't let it get to the point where you're more of an animal than a man. Don't let it get to the point where you have to be driven away from people. It might have been Nebuchadnezzar's own pride that drove himself away from others, as he becomes increasingly isolated and prideful and paranoid. And he was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. Don't let it get to that point. Heed the warnings. Look in yourself and think, what do I need to deal with? God will get your attention. Normally does it through others. He might do it through this sermon or worship song, or you might do it through a walk or a bit of scripture. When he does, listen. Don't wait for things to get bad. Don't wait for things to keep sliding until you're more of an animal. Don't wait for things to get so bad that you're driven away from all the people that you love and you find yourself isolated. Don't do that. Deal with it while you still can. But there's always hope. Imagine the scene. King Nebuchadnezzar, the great and glorious king, now eating grass, like with his long hair and his big nails like a claw and no one around him, and he's absolutely lost the plot. This great king has got his comeuppance. He's been cast out. He's more animal than man. But at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. No matter how far you think you have drifted from God, raise your eyes towards heaven so that you can be restored. No matter how far you think you've slid from where you want to be, raise your eyes towards heaven so that you might be restored. In the New Testament, Jesus tells a story of the prodigal son who turns and heads home. And no matter how far away the son feels he was, despite the fact he's acting more like an animal than a man, eating the food of the pigs, as he turns back to home, he finds his father running towards him. Raise your eyes towards heaven that you might be restored. If you feel like you are back to where you were 5 years ago, raise your eyes towards heaven so that you might be restored. If you feel driven away from the people around you, raise your eyes towards heaven that you might be restored. If you feel you've got such low self-esteem, that you feel like you are isolated and cut off, and that no one understands you, raise your eyes towards heaven, that you might be restored. Turn back home and find a father running towards you with his arms open wide. Nebuchadnezzar, despite ignoring the warnings, despite it needing God to get his attention through a dream and then this punishment, despite having to go through the hardship of acting like an animal and eating grass, he goes through the lowest point in his life, but he is still restored when he turns his eyes towards heaven. Turn your eyes towards heaven, that you might be restored. Father, I pray for those of us who feel we have drifted or feel we've returned to our besetting sins, or we've picked up bad habits, not been able to keep hold of the good ones. Pray for those of us who feel disconnected or isolated. Pray for those of us who feel that we're not where we want to be. I pray that we would hear your voice this morning, calling us back home. That we would hear your voice this morning, calling us back to a relationship with you. I pray we would have the humility and the wisdom to hear the people around us when they call us out on stuff. That we would have the wisdom and humility to heed warnings, to notice things in our own character that aren't right, that need to be changed. I thank you, God, that there is always hope, that no one is beyond redemption, that if we turn our eyes towards heaven, we can be restored. Thank you that when we turn back to you, there is a father with his arms open wide, ready to embrace us. Amen.